Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you showed up today and continuing studying along us together concerning this matter of redemption. Today we're going back into our study, the fifth study, the letter R, for redemption in the ABCs of Christian Growth. Study number 18D, and I don't know whether or not you can acquire these studies on paper and the scriptures that run parallel along with the study, and you can actually get the study that I'm teaching off of right in front of me. You can get that off of Barnhouse Ministries under the ABCs of Christian Growth, and just go to that study, and down in the bottom left hand corner of the frame you'll see a download, and you can download it if you like, and you can print them and have it right there in front of you to have a pencil and fill it in. They're fill in the blank, and all of these lessons are workable. And it's just like him being in class. You get the sheets and they're sitting in front of you, and as you go down through them, you just fill them in, and you fill the scriptures in, and you read every bit of God's word as you go through the study. And that's what counts, brothers and sisters, is that you're getting God's word into you. You're getting God. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And it's God's word. God's word. God's word. So we're going to get back into our study today. This will be the third lesson in this study, and there's not going to be probably one more after this to finish this study up. Not important, it's just not that lengthy, because as we go through salvation and all the other parts of salvation that we study, we actually study this also. And you see in that, as we go through these studies and you see these different parts and aspects of salvation, and as we study them, you often hear these other parts of salvation being spoken and being talked about, because they intertwine with one another. Your salvation is a great big thing that the Lord has done, and we're going to talk about that today as we go down and talk about how redemption was accomplished. It wasn't no happenstance. This was a plan. The Lord put this thing together, and this redemptive plan, this redemptive payment that delivers us. And that's what we talked about on our last study, was things that Christ's redemptive payment delivers from. You remember that? And we went over, I don't know, what was it, about 10 different things that the scriptures teach us that Christ's redemptive payment delivered us from and delivers us from. Past tense, present tense, and future tense, having to do with your salvation. It delivers us from the curse of the law, remember that, and from the bondage of the law. It delivers us from iniquity. It delivers from enemies. It delivers from destruction and from death and from the grave, and delivered us and delivers us from our vain conversation. That life that was meaningless and didn't count for anything, but now we're different. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that wonderful? Being born again changes everything. It changes everything. It delivers from the Christ's payment, the redemptive payment that the Lord put together to give through the Father. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," accepted that payment gladly and was well pleased with it. And now, because of that payment, he's able to be propitious towards us. It placates God's wrath and takes it away, and he's no longer angry or wrathful at the ones that come to him through Christ. It delivers from this present evil world. And it delivers from the wrath to come. Remember those? And we read the scriptures having to do with them, and that's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's truth. Now you're clean through the words which I've spoken to you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So today we're going to go into our third study, and we're going to begin with to find out and to study how redemption was accomplished. How redemption was accomplished. Well, what's the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, first of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8, the Old Testament talks about we can see in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament does not have New Testament salvation in it. It's nothing like New Testament salvation. And this thing that people are saying about the people were saved in the Old Testament the same way they are in the New Testament is nonsense. It's not true. It's not the way the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. And that's why we should get into the scriptures. Now, don't let that flip you and throw you off guard there. But there in this matter of salvation, salvation changes several different times, depending on what era you're in and what time you live. God changes salvation. There's salvation that was in the Old Testament before the law, when there were only Gentiles, and then when the Hebrew nation come, there was salvation under the law, and then there's salvation after the law, and in the book of Acts, as we go through the book of Acts, salvation changes two or three times. But it ends up with the Pauline epistle, and that's what we live under, and that's the salvation that the Lord has offered us, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way, and the only way today that in this dispensation that somebody can be born again, somebody can be reconciled to the Father and be saved and have eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the Pauline epistle in which he named the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. Now, after the rapture, and as the world goes into the tribulation period, salvation is going to change again. It's going to change again. There's no longer going to be no free gift having to do with salvation. Works are going to come back into it. You're going to have to behave yourself, and you're going to have to actually do what God says and perform along with faith in Jesus Christ. And then after that, during the millennium, there's going to be a different salvation in that also. Going to having to do with the trees of life and eating off of the trees of life and all that sort of stuff. So see, don't let that throw you off, because we do study that in the ABCs of Christian growth, and that is doctrine. And we don't try to dive real deep down in anything, just the ABCs of Christian growth. But we want to understand what the Bible is teaching us. Because if you didn't know these things about salvation that I just briefly went over and explained to you, if you didn't know these things, when you read about salvation in the Old Testament, you read about salvation in the New Testament, you read about salvation in the tribulation period, you read about salvation when the Bible talks about it during the book of Acts, and you read about it in the millennium and so on and so forth, you get confused because those things don't match. They don't match. Well, the Bible says this about salvation over here, and it says this about salvation over here. Well, yeah, that's why you have to read it in the context, and you have to rightly divide that Bible. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. And we do. We do here. But talking about how redemption was accomplished. Well, in the Old Testament, and that's what we're going to talk about right now, where I began just a while ago, is Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8. The Bible says, but because the Lord loved you, now this is the Lord talking to the nation of Israel as he's bringing them out of Egypt. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see, there was redemption in the Old Testament. And even it being in the Old Testament, when the Lord talks about redemption, it's by His own power. It's accomplished by God's power. God just told us about the Israelites when He brought them out of the land of Egypt and was putting them on a journey over to the promised land to give them the land that He promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Egypt. When He promised that to them, He promised it to them that He was going to accomplish it, but He was going to accomplish it by His own power. And you notice that even in the Old Testament, it talks about redeeming. Redeeming. Now, it's not Jesus Christ's redemption. It's God's redemption that He performed on the nation of Israel when He brought them out. 2 million and plus people, a nation, and brought them out. You know, it would take God's power to get all the plagues that He put on Pharaoh and on Egypt and even killed people. All the firstborn all the things, killed all the animals at once, let it rain and hail all sorts of business. That's God's power. God's power. And that's what Deuteronomy's talking about, where God is saying, you know, because I loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto His fathers. God is a good promise keeper. He keeps His promises. He keeps them to everybody that He promises. If He promises it, and it's written down, especially if He promises it and it's written, you can be assured that thing's going to come to pass. Now, there's been instances where God has said something and He has changed His mind because of the behavior of the ones He promised it to, you see, and that's understandable, and God can do anything He wants to do, but God is a keeper of His promises, especially when it's written. When it's written, you can bet your, you can put every bit, you can stake your soul that it's going to come to pass. But because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now we can see a similarity there. That's not talking about, not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, but you can see a similarity of our salvation in that thing, because the Lord did under He brought us out with a mighty hand and redeemed us out of a house of a bondman. That was sin. We talked about that in the last lesson. Brought us out. And from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The world is a type of Egypt. You see that thing? I mean, it can be compared there, but it is similar to New Testament salvation, but it's not talking about that at all. So, but what we're talking about is how redemption is accomplished. It's accomplished by God's power. And we see that in the Old Testament there. Now, moving to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 through 19, listen to this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. There's one of your parts of salvation, reconciliation, remember? Told you we was going to be hearing these things about your salvation as we study individually and things like that. And all these things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see that? You see God's power in that verse? It's accomplished by God's power. Redemption and the redemptive payment was accomplished by God's power. You see that? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Christ said many times, He said, the Father was in Him. He said, I in the Father and the Father in me. He said that many times. He never held no, he never made no qualms about it. He freely admitted that his heavenly Father was in him, and that he was there to do the work of the Father and to finish the work of the Father. He knew what he was doing, and he knew what his mission was, and he followed through with it. But the Scripture tells us right there in 2 Corinthians that it was done and it was accomplished by God's power. And the Lord Jesus Christ even admitted that too, that it was God working through him. Excuse me. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's not all in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3 through 6, the Bible says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated," there's another part of your salvation. Remember, we talked about that. Don't let that throw you off like some of these people teach, that some get saved, some are predestined to get saved, and some are not predestined to get saved. That's a bunch of nonsense. Anybody can be saved. Christ died for everybody, all men, and anybody can be saved. But anybody cannot be predestinated. You're only predestinated when you receive Christ. But the Bible says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. You see God the Father working in that? According to the good pleasure of his will. That's what he wanted to do. He had a plan he was fulfilling. He was carrying out, and he was carrying it out through his Son, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God's power. This thing couldn't have been done without God's power. This is a supernatural thing. It's not natural. This is a supernatural thing that God has done. And only God does supernatural things. You got all these nuts out there that do all this hocus pocus and stuff like that, and all these movies. And isn't that a funny thing that people say they don't believe in God, but they go and pay to watch a movie of supernatural things? Isn't that a funny thing? That's funny, isn't it? That's funny. But Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 6 shows us that the redemption, how redemption is accomplished, it's accomplished by God's power. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Who did it? God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who? God the Father hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God the Father. According as he hath chosen us in him, in who? In Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. You see that plan? Before him, who? God the Father, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. You see God the Father working in that? You see God's power working in that? According to the good pleasure of his will. It's what he wanted to do. It was his plan, and the Lord Jesus Christ helped him carry that plan out. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's one very important piece of scripture right there, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, where we was under his wrath before. And we talked about that in our last lesson. Remember that? Okay, so how redemption, the redemption payment we talked about, and redemption is actually the payment, but how redemption is accomplished? It's accomplished by God's power. That payment could not be made unless God was behind it. Because God set the plan in motion, and Jesus Christ showed up, God in the flesh. God himself came down here, was born of a virgin, incarnated into flesh, was born of a virgin, and was named Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and carried that thing out. And it was done by God's power. Do you know anybody, any virgins that's having babies? Have you seen anybody that's claimed? Well, we got a bunch of nuts running around saying they are Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's a whole nother study in itself, and it is in one of our studies having to do. I forget which one is in, but we do study and see a lot of these people in the world today that are claiming that they are Jesus Christ. I don't remember what study it was, but it was Peter talking about, and perilous times shall come, and men are going, the Lord Jesus Christ said to people, many shall come in his name. Remember that? But not one of those claimants done any miracles out in front of anybody, healed nobody. If they got lucky, they might have been 50-50 on some kind of prophecy that they might have made, but they read it somewhere before they prophesied. It is already prophesied. But no man has the power to do any of this stuff that we're talking about when it comes to redemption. If man could save himself, don't you think he would? Well, what he would do was he would legislate it, and then he would make a business out of it, and he would get a patent on it, and then he would sell it, is what he would do. That's man's kind of business right there, but that's not where God operates. It was accomplished by God's power. God didn't ask anything of anybody. He had a problem of how he was going to redeem his creatures back to himself, because he loved us and he wanted us to have the opportunity to come back to him. So he put that plan together, and the Lord Jesus Christ carried it out for him by his power, by God the Father, by his power, by God's power. How redemption was accomplished. That's the first thing. It was accomplished by God's power. Secondly, it was accomplished by Christ's blood. Now, we know that thing. We know that the Bible talks a lot about blood, especially in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And the Old Testament talks about all kinds of different blood. It talks about man's blood, talks about the blood of bulls and goats, and the blood here and the blood there. But in the New Testament, it narrows it down to one blood, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. It was accomplished by Christ's blood. What was accomplished? The redemption. There couldn't have been no redemption payment without Christ's blood. You think your blood could pay and make this thing happen called redemption? Do you think your blood could do it? Of course not. A person would be a fool to say that. My blood's not good. The problem with humans is their blood ain't no good. And we'll get into that in another study in the fall of man, having to do with what happened to your blood when Adam fell. What happened to human beings' blood when Adam fell? Back in the garden, and talk about all that having to do with the fall of man. It was accomplished by Christ's blood. Nobody else could do that. Only Christ could do that. Why? Because he had God's blood. He was and is God in the flesh. Do you get that? Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read this to you. And verse 7. In whom we have redemption. In other words, the payment's been made. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It couldn't have been accomplished without any other way. It had to be innocent blood. It had to be blood that belonged to an innocent man. Do you know any innocent men? other than the ones that are under Christ's righteousness, you're innocent then, but that's because of Christ and because of His blood. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption. Who? In Jesus Christ. Through His blood. There is no redemption without Christ's blood. There is no going back to the Father without that specific, particular blood. If Christ didn't shed His blood, you would still be lost and without God in the world, with the wrath of God on you and headed to hell like a rocket. The only thing between you and hell would be one breath, if it wasn't for the blood. For Christ's blood, the blood, specific, particular blood. If the blood of bulls and goats could have done it, and Paul talks quite a bit of that in the New Testament, in the Pauline epistles, if the blood of bulls and goats would have been satisfactory, then Christ wouldn't have come. But God was not pleased with that. It wasn't doing anything. He could forgive sins through that manner, but He couldn't take them away. And He sure couldn't bring the sinners up there where He was, because they weren't bought and they weren't paid for. They were forgiven, but they weren't bought. And they weren't sanctified. He couldn't have them up there. That's why they went to paradise, in Abraham's bosom, until Christ came, until He shed the blood. What are we talking about? We're talking about redemption. How redemption was accomplished. What is redemption? It is the payment that Christ put together to give to the Heavenly Father for our redemption. It is a redemption payment. How was it accomplished? It was accomplished by God's power, and it's accomplished by Christ's blood. Christ's blood. Let me read you some more. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh." How? By the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Redemption. How was that payment accomplished? How was redemption accomplished? Through the blood. Christ put together the payment, and one ingredient in that payment, to get that payment together, was His blood. He shed it. He shed it from the Mount of Olives all the way to Calvary. And when they put Him in that tomb, it was a bloody mess. God's blood spread all over Israel. And the path they took to take Him to Calvary and crucify Him and then take Him down and take Him, put Him in the tomb. And there was blood all the way through that. And you know whose it was? It was God the Son's blood. God in the flesh. Real blood come out of that body. And it was shed. He was slain as a lamb is slain. He was slain. He shed blood. And redemption is accomplished by that. Christ accomplished it. We just read two verses, said Christ did it. And how did He do it? They said, by His blood. And whom we have redemption? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And then it said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. It's accomplished not only by God's power. God's the only one that could have put this plan together. No man could have even thought this thing up. And if he did think about it, man is so stinking selfish, he would not sacrifice nothing about himself for the world. Christ gave Himself, and He didn't ask anything in return. He gave His life and shed His blood, whether people accept Him or not. He made the payment available to give to the Father, and the Father now could accept people and reconcile them back to himself through Christ when people come through Christ. But if you don't come through Christ, see ya. And he will see you at the white throne judgment. What else? Well, it's accomplished by Christ's blood. We read Ephesians 1:7 and then Ephesians 2:13. Here's one in Romans. We was talking about Romans just a minute ago and the Apostle Paul. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, and you know these verses, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth," there's God the Father, "to be a propitiation through faith in" what? "In his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." You see, back in the Old Testament, God put up with people's sins because there was no redemption yet. The sins couldn't be took away. So when a man died, if he died in a righteous state and obeying God and doing the things that had enough faith and had faith to do what God told him to do, that was the difference, and he died in that state, he went to Abraham's bosom. He was forgiven, but the payment hadn't been made. And according to this, it says, "For this cause he is," or it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." You see that propitiation? In other words, God set forth Christ so he could put the payment together so that when Christ offered it to him, he could accept it. That's what propitiation is having a payment that God could accept and would accept. And God the Father set that plan out so perfect that it says that whom God the Father, had set forth, who? Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The whole plan was perfect. And God the Father set it in motion, and the Lord Jesus Christ carried it out and accomplished the payment, redemption, to declare his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. In other words, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, now get this, for the remission of sins. In other words, people were forgiven in the past, but their sins had not been taken away, remitted. And when God put this plan together, all the people from Adam all the way up until Christ were in Abraham's bosom. And the Father knew that, and he put this plan together so that not only people like you and I accept Christ in this dispensation and are born again and bought into the family of God, but the people that died being forgiven, but their sins were still around, this took care of it. Listen to what it says. He's talking about the sins of the past, the people that died and their sins weren't taken care of. It even took care of their sins and took them out of the way also. That's why Christ led captivity captive and went down there and got them people in Abraham's bosom and took them to heaven after his blood was shed, because his blood took care of that thing and redeemed their sins also and took them out of the way. Now they could go be with the Lord. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now get this. "Whom has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, not only us, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. God putting up with people and putting up with their sins because there was no payment to pay for them yet, but he did forgive them and put them in a place because of them obeying and doing what God told them to do, and they died in that state. But now, their sins could be taken away and erased, wiped out, and they could go to heaven. You see that thing? God's perfect plan, man. But Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, what are we talking about? We're talking about how redemption was accomplished. It was accomplished by God's power, and it was accomplished by Christ's blood. Here's another verse, Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 13 through 15. Listen to this. And for this cause, he is the mediator, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, the law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's what we just got through talking about. That's how the people got eternal inheritance and got to go to heaven. Was because they were under the first testament, the law, and if they died and they died and died the right way and died obeying God and doing the things that God told them to do, then they would go to Abraham's bosom. And for this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Anybody now, the ones in the past that died in the right state with the Lord, and us nowadays, to where we don't have to worry about it. The minute that you accept Christ, your sins are taken out of the way. He's forgiven you all trespasses and took your sins away. They don't exist anymore. That's the difference. And if you die, you go straight to be with the Lord. You don't have to go to Abraham's bosom because your sins are taken out of the way and you have Christ's righteousness on you now. And God's not mad at you anymore. You are accepted in the blood. Amen? By the blood. By the blood. See that thing? For the redemption of the transgression which were under the first testament. Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. The New Testament. How? How? How redemption was accomplished? Through his blood. It was accomplished by Christ's blood. Here's one more. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Listen to this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Now see, that's what man tries to do nowadays. He tries to help God out and get people saved, but he does it by corruptible things. What do you mean by corruptible things, Brother TV? Well, let's just read the scripture. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The perfect lamb. Remember in the Old Testament, God told them, when you bring me a lamb, don't you bring me one with a spot on it or some kind of thing that it's not supposed to have, a sore or something that's not supposed to be there. It's going to be clean and perfect when you bring it to me. And that was one thing God reprimanded them people for, bringing their sick animals to God and offering them for sacrifice rather than the good animals. They would get some sick animals and they would sin and they'd bring their sick animals down there. And God said, should I accept this at your hand? You think I'm a God like that? You're going to bring me your sick animals so I can forgive you? You're out of your stinking mind. I'm not a God like that. When you come to me, you're going to be sanctified. Things are going to be separated. And you're going to sacrifice, a real sacrifice. And that's what Jesus done. He made the perfect sacrifice as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For as much as ye know, you and me, that we were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold. How about that, Benny Hinn? And all the rest of you money mongers out there and teaching people ungodly things and taking advantage of the helpless, you're going to pay for that stuff. You preachers out there that are after silver and gold and you're basing your ministry on silver and gold and your income, God's taking good notes. And He's going to talk to you about that one day. He's going to talk to you about that one day, that you ain't going anywhere with no real ministry because of the means and the things that you're doing it for. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, mine and your salvation was not bought, redeemed, a payment put together. That was silver and gold, corruptible things. It was by the blood of Christ, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what Peter said, and he's right. We don't need to take our, we shouldn't take our salvation lightly. There was a major payment made for all this to take place for you and me. And then guess what? You got it for free. Just by the asking. And then God give you the faith to ask. Isn't He wonderful? What a perfect plan. How is redemption accomplished? Well, by God's power. And what else? It's accomplished by Christ's blood. Christ's blood. The Lord said in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Your sins can't be forgiven. I mean, the remission is more like the penalty, what you're going to get because you sinned. And without the shedding of blood, God is not going to let you off the hook, is what He's saying. You don't get off the hook. And the blood of goats and animals could let you off the hook as far as being forgiven for that particular sin, but when you went home and cussed your wife out, you had to put another sacrifice down there. And then when you went and lusted after a woman, you had to go down there and do it again. And all that sort of business. The blood of bulls and goats didn't last. It only lasted for that one sin that you confessed. And God forgave you for that. And if you're behaving yourself and you're doing what God told you to do and you die in that state, you go to Abraham's bosom. But your sins weren't taken away because that blood of bulls and goats wasn't powerful enough. It wasn't eternal blood. It wasn't pure blood. It was the blood of bulls and goats. It's temporary. Just until the seed come, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that thing? Okay, it's accomplished by Christ's blood. All right, one more thing that we want to talk about today. How redemption was accomplished? How did Christ get this payment together? By God's power and by His blood. And one other thing, it was accomplished by God's grace. God wanted it to happen. And He put the plan together and made it happen. And it's by His grace. He didn't have to do it. He could have just destroyed. He said many times in the Old Testament, told Moses, step aside, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses got in between them. And many times God said that. That He's going to kill everybody. I'm going to wipe them out and I'll make a nation out of you. And John the Baptist said, you know, don't think you're somebody. God can make nation out of these rocks. God can do anything. But this plan He put together through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His shed blood, talking about redemption and having a payment that is good enough and valid enough and perfect enough that God would accept it. It was accomplished by God's power and by God's Christ's blood and by God's grace. Let's read some scripture and see if that's so. The Bible says, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says this, being justified freely. That's what Christ's blood might gives you opportunity to be, is justified, just as you hadn't sinned, that God calls you righteous when you're not. God justifies you when you're not justified. Being justified freely. How? By His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? Being justified freely. By His grace. How? Through the redemption, the payment, that is in Christ Jesus. You see how that thing just intertwines and all that truth is just so beautiful? You see that thing? What a perfect plan the Lord brought about. And it's still working. 2,000 years now, Christ's blood been paying for a whole bunch of folks. It paid for the whole world. But the ones that appropriate it are the ones it really works for, because they have eternal life. And Christ's blood bought that. It's accomplished by God's grace. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, those that died the way that they doing what God told them to do under the law, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, whom is the father of us all. In other words, people that were under the law and died the way they were supposed to, obeying God, and people that were under their conscience and died the right way. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. That it might be by grace. God don't want anybody to earn anything, because you know what? They can't. God couldn't accept it. If you'd done the very best that you could possibly do and put the package together and brought it to the Lord, He'd laugh at you. You wouldn't even get to Him to offer it, because He's not going to accept anything like that. The Lord says that no flesh is going to glory in His sight. And your flesh, and you're a sinner, and your blood ain't no good. So how are you going to pay God for your sins? You can't. Somebody else got to do it. There's got to be a better payment than you can come up with, or I can come up with. Matter of fact, we can't even come up with one. You're wasting your time. It's accomplished by God's grace. God wants to save you. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants you to be reconciled to Him. But it's got to be done right. Legally and judicially, and grace and holiness having to do with all of it. All of God's sides, His grace and His mercy, but also His justice and His wrath. All these things have to be taken care of. And that's a mighty powerful payment that somebody has to offer Him in order for all these avenues to be taken care of. Christ's blood not only took care of the grace and the mercy part, but it took care of the judicial part also. What else? Well, it was accomplished by God's grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, we've read chapter 3, Romans, chapter 4 of Romans, and now in chapter 5 of Romans, it says in verse 20 and 21, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law is what makes you guilty. It's what tells that you've done something wrong. Thou shalt not lie. Have you ever lied? The law just told on you. The offense abounds. You're guilty. That the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's accomplished by God's grace. God, you know, the law, God's law, His law, is what condemns everybody and makes you accountable. And because you're accountable, God's wrath's on you, and you're going to get it. But when Jesus came and made that payment, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Father's able to forgive you, take away your sins, give you Christ's righteousness, adopt you into the family of God, and give you eternal life, and later on bring you on to heaven to be with Him. It's accomplished by God's grace. What are we talking about being accomplished? How redemption was accomplished. How Christ put this payment together. How the payment was acquired. How was it acquired? By God's power, by Christ's blood, and by God's grace. And one more in Romans chapter 6. We've read chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Somebody walks up to you and says, "How do you know you're going to heaven? You're a sinner. I know you've lied before. I know you've stole before. I know you've had bad, wicked imaginations before and everything else." All you got to say is, "You know, I'm not under the law anymore. God's not holding that against me." He said, "How do you know that?" "Because I'm under grace. Jesus' blood paid for me. I'm under grace. The law can't condemn me anymore. That's all been taken out of the way. The law is not effective against me anymore. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace." You see that thing? That's beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's recap just a little bit. Let me ask you, or let me just recap a little bit. How redemption was accomplished is what we've been talking about today, brothers and sisters. It's accomplished by God's power. What is redemption? Well, redemption is the payment. It's the payment that God put together, that the Lord put together, and the Lord Jesus Christ carried out and acquired the payment, and the redemption payment was made, and the Father accepted it because it was perfect. And because of that, it was accomplished by God's power, and it was accomplished by Christ's blood, and it was accomplished by God's grace. By God's grace. All of that's beautiful. And you know what you think about all these poor people that are being misled, that they can work their way to heaven and all this? You know, if you think you can work your way to heaven, that disregards God's power. Because He's not doing it, you're doing it. That disregards Christ's blood because you're trying to do it with silver and gold or works or whatever it is that you're trying to do it with and get to heaven in. And it takes God's grace out of it because it's not a gift anymore. If you can get to heaven by doing something, then God owes you. But if you're not doing it by works, and it's by grace, then it is a gift. And that's the way God put it together, is as a gift. And that's how we accept it, is as a gift. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a gift. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful salvation we have, and that we have been given because of the redemptive payment that God's power and Christ's blood and God's grace accomplished. Accomplished. Amen. All right. Well, good class. Good class. And let me give you these scriptures, okay? Are you ready? And I give these to you, and then we will dismiss, and we'll come back together on this last one, and we'll probably close out this study, and we'll see some more things. We'll talk about some benefits of Christ's redemptive payment. What exactly are some benefits, the things that are good about Christ's redemptive payment. When Christ put that together and give it to the Father, some things happen, and some things become available, and the benefits of Christ's redemptive payment. We'll talk about that on the next one. Here's the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 through 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And then we get into the Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Boy, in that book of Romans, Paul really lays it out there, having to do with what the difference is under the law, and the difference is under conscience, the difference is between the Jews and the Greeks and the Gentiles, and how this matter of redemption was accomplished. And then finally, the last scripture, I don't know if I told you, Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, and then Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. And that's the scriptures that we've seen today, and we've read and studied, and we see that the Bible does teach us that redemption was accomplished by God's power, by Christ's shed blood, and by God's grace. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there, my brothers and sisters. The Lord bless you and thank you for disciplining yourself and honoring your Lord and studying His Word. It is important to the Lord, and He does know when you study and when you listen to His Word, when you read His Word, and when you honor it. And the Bible says if you honor the Lord, He will honor you in return. I love you with Christ's love, and thank you for studying God's Word and coming and having class with us. I'll talk to you on the next one, hopefully. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.